Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A look around a video game store like this one in North Hollywood leaves no doubt about the violence level of the games. And retailers say the more mayhem, the better the sales.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell. I'm here in the... just in the long grass. I'm waiting for Adam to walk past, and when he's
beautiful day out, no snipers around. This is exactly the kind of situation I love being in. Time to close my eyes and point my head downwards so the nape of my neck is easily accessible and the top of my skull from that direction.
And snack tap.
Snack tap. Snack tap.
Snack tap. Oh no, my sandwich.
And snack attack.
Yes. Well, guys, if you want to see that kind of performative comedy happening right in front of you, live in front of your very eyes, come and see us at Comedy Republic, July the 2nd, 5:30 p.m. It's an in-person event.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in Melbourne, come down and check it out live. But if you're somewhere else in the world, we are also streaming it. And the stream will stay up for 24 hours afterwards if you can't tune in exactly live at that time.
Yes.
But you should try and do that. It'd be more... rewarding and satisfying, I'm going to say.
It'll be fun. It also, it won't be extended from that 24. That'll be the amount of hours it'll be. So, yeah, definitely try and watch it live, but obviously times. We've tried to make it at a good time to sort of be a middle ground for everywhere. And it's on a Saturday night, you know. So
Eve. Late afternoon.
Maybe even a Friday.
I would
Friday
not call 5:30 the night.
But I mean, in other plot parts of the world.
Yeah. Mm.
But actually, that'd be a Friday, wouldn't it?
It's not.
Oh, it's a Saturday morning, I believe, for
it's
the UK.
It's a weekend.
Oh, New Zealand. It'd be Saturday night by the time you're tuning in.
That's true. 24 hours later, it could be Saturday night.
That's true.
When we're doing it, I think 5:30's. Yeah, okay, whatever.
It's Saturday night somewhere.
Come and have a little watch. Either in person be great. Love to see you there, or online.
Yep.
The streaming will be fun, and it's being professionally done at Comedy Republic.
Yes.
So
tickets at comedyrepublic.com.au
or filthycasuals.com.au
or google.com.
Yeah,
and
well,
you'll need to do a bit more work in that case, but you can start there.
I'm assuming we'll be able to have the chat. A stream chat live.
Did you know?
Based on what we know about what they're using to stream it. I think if we have a laptop, we should be able to interact with people live.
Maybe.
Which is, the point again is to be there live.
Yeah, and to do stuff live. We'll have a little show planned. We'll do some fucking things, a little bit of razzmatazz.
We'll do some dancing.
Uh-huh. That's the plan. Yep. 1 hour of dancing.
Synchronized dance.
Adam will be flossing for an hour straight.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Take
care
of those
teeth. My
dentist
wishes. Yes.
So, come check that out. We're looking forward to doing that. We haven't done a live thing for over a year at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's been some stuff going on.
Yeah. Comedy festival.
Tell you what's been going on.
Speaking
of live streams. No, I was going to talk about moving, but all right, there's state of play.
Yeah.
You are streaming your possessions from one house to another.
On the fucking shit-ass Australian internet, I guess. Yeah. On the worst dial-up connection ever.
You're putting them in a little
walking in one
red wagon, towing it along behind you.
I really am trying to move as much, because I'm only moving not that far up the road from where I live now.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like, oh, easy. I'll just do trips back and forth with boxes. Turns out shit's heavy and fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but anyway, I'm in the middle of moving and I'm setting up a nice little office room. Mm-hmm. I've been able to move somewhere.
Or your The Office US paraphernalia. Yeah. Covering the walls, every shelf. It's filled with little Michael Scott bobbleheads.
I've got that signed poster of Steve Carell, which Rainn Wilson signed.
Yep.
From Evan Almighty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, I've got it. I'm going to start doing streaming stuff again soon, which is part of why I moved. I wanted to be able to, I mean, not the entire reason, but I want to do that. It was fun. And
you'll
I just
be doing one on July the 2nd at 5:30 p.m. at the Comedy Republic.
That's true. And sometimes from my house as well. So I'll let people know when I'm doing that again. But yeah, someone took a shit in the mailroom today.
Yeah, this is big video game news of the week. Yes.
I've only just moved in there. And one of the first experiences I've had is of there being a full shit in the corner of the mail room.
Right. So it's not the foyer. It was the mail room.
It's just attached to that.
Okay.
So it is accessible from the street.
Right.
Not to, you know, but if anyone has had a shit be in their mail room, I don't want to dox myself by telling people where I live.
But I mean, look, if that's how someone works out what your address is, then they've really earned it.
Yeah.
Someone listening is being like, yeah, there was a shit in my mail room this morning. I guess I live in the same building that Adam's moving
into. He lives in a New York apartment building from the 1970s.
I mean, if they live there, there's a good chance they'll run into you anyway.
So that's a good point. Someone who listens to this lived in my old apartment building. We had a little chat in the elevator.
Right, okay.
Yeah, right. You also told us that
they listened to it from downstairs while we recorded.
Someone yelled a slur at you while you were walking home at 3 a.m. eating a pie.
Yeah, man. It's been a weird experience doing that. I was eating a pie because I hadn't eaten all day because I've been moving or I hadn't eaten dinner. I'd eaten during the day at some point, I suppose. Although it was 3 a.m., so technically I hadn't eaten that day.
Early breakfast.
Yeah. but... Yeah, so it's been a fucking hassle and a nightmare. And it's meant that I thought, oh, but that's okay. Because for this week, I'll be able to talk about Diablo Immortal. That's a mobile game.
Yep.
I won't have to have shit set up to be able to play that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking thing won't launch on my phone.
Yeah.
This is a common experience with people, I'm understanding.
Yeah, apparently. Right. So the game...
First they find a shit, then they get a slur yelled at them, and then Diablo Immortal won't launch.
It's three bad things always happen in threes, so at least I'm done, and that's me forever.
Yep.
Oh, it's all on the way up here. Yeah, I tried to play Diablo Immortal several times, deleted the app, reinstalled it. I've got an iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is a recent phone that it just gets in. We'll go, all right, downloading some updates, and then... It's out. It's gone.
It just crashes? Creepers.
You're done.
I saw it happen before. Yeah.
I gave a little demo, so don't have any thoughts on that game.
Neither.
But that's a thought in and of itself.
It should be more stable.
It should be working.
Yeah,
it does seem as though... Because they've launched it on phones and on PC as well, but the PC is like a beta, and apparently that's been a little dodgy too.
Right.
And yeah, like you say, some other people have been having issues on the phone. Mm. And then even the game itself... Ignore all the monetization shit, which is a separate issue that is also one, but it seems to be getting kind of a mixed response anyway, which I'm surprised you haven't given it a try because you're a big Diablo
head. I tried on the day. It was supposed to launch, what, June 3rd, I think?
Something like that.
And it was like, this game is not ready yet. So I know I tried a couple of times and I was like, ah, fuck it.
This is a great video games podcast where the hosts spend a week trying and... failing to actually launch the game.
Yeah.
It's real gonzo. Yeah. This is what actually playing video games is like. We're not in those hyper, what's that word, where something's hermetically sealed room where you play a game in the company's conditions and then you suffocate and die because it's hermetically sealed.
Sure.
Yep.
But, you know, that's been...
It's gonzo style in that we're a couple of Muppets.
Yeah.
Not to flex, but I downloaded, installed, and successfully ran a couple of games this week.
Whoa.
So.
Well, okay. Save it for the experts podcast.
But this guy's experts. Mail room clean is experts. Squeaky clean.
Well, Tommy went and, you know, dropped the deuce somewhere and walked away and was like, yeah, I feel ready to play a game now.
It definitely had the vibe of someone had run into an open door hoping that there was a toilet in there.
Well, I went into the mail room and I I opened my loader box and someone had posted me a copy of the Darwin Awards, which I just have such a Pavlovian response to only ever reading on the toilet. So as I started leafing through the pages, I was like, oh, it's happening. My body just, once it's reading a book like that, it's like, you must be on the toilet.
You must be evacuating your bowels.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the other thing about Diablo Immortal is like, this happens all the time with mobile games, it feels like, but there was an article that went around being like, if you want to fully... make your character max level, it'd be $110,000 equivalent to do that.
Yeah,
I feel like that's bad. B, that is often the case for mobile games, so it's not like this one I don't think is particularly egregious.
Right.
But also they are all egregious.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is why this game is banned in, I think, Denmark and Belgium. I might have those countries wrong, but... Mm-hmm.
It is annoying that this is just the new normal now. That it's like the defense is, it's like, well, every game's doing it. It's like, yeah, and that's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of these new normals are fucking bad. I'm sick of them. But yeah, so no Diablo Immortal, but it seems as though that's not too big of a deal.
Hey, if you played it and liked it or disliked it, let us know what it's like.
Yeah.
You'll have to, because I'm never going to be able to play it.
No.
Till I get a new phone, and then there'll be something else out by then. Speaking of games coming out,
yes.
This is a segue you were trying to do earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, Sony had a state of play a week ago.
They did. They disclaimed it as being about VR2 and some third-party games.
Yep.
And that is what it was about.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
It's been kind of not, like, as much as... E3 being, well, dead this year, but then apparently back in person and online next year.
Yep.
But having expectations managed by all of these people who are doing streams, saying like, you know, remember COVID, it fucked everything.
Don't
There's
get
not
too
much.
Excited.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was actually pleasantly full of stuff I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one as well. It started with Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Full remaster as they've
Remake.
Done with... Yeah, well, yes, sorry. Yeah. Remake like with 2 and 3. Mm. It looks cool.
Resident Evil 4 Rem Fork. Are they doing that? You know, like putting the...
Right.
They love a bit of that.
They've done it with Remake on the GameCube. Mm. That was Remake.
Right.
Resident Evil 4 2. maybe it could be that.
Yeah, it could be that.
But yeah, no, it's just
4-2.
They didn't show like much of it. It was sort of like a bit of like the intro.
Yeah, true.
Cinematic,
gameplay,
very
yes,
stylized, yes. But looks sick. Those other three or two have been great, and yeah, playing 4 again in VR last year. I don't know if I'm quite, you know, like. It's a bit of a shame to have sort of recently kind of replayed the game, kind of taken a bit of the sting out of...
Replayed.
Sorry. I'm very sorry.
Apology accepted.
But it's a great game. And yeah, they really go above and beyond with their remakes of these games. So I think it will feel different enough, I'm sure.
I hope it does too. I think this, out of all of them too, because Resident Evil 2 and 3 were PS1 games and were... old enough that the remake in a different gameplay style really injected new life into those games. Mm. And that's going to be harder to do with 4 because it's been ported and I've played it myself a whole bunch of times. And it is still, again, doing that VR version, which was different and played differently.
Mm.
It still holds up as it is at the beginning of the modern era of how games play.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
I mean, but the actual version of it that's been ported, like not the VR version, people talk about how that's kind of, even though it is in that style that 2 and 3 were in, like they were changing from the static camera into the like over the shoulder third person perspective. People do still talk about how like the aiming in 4 feels, because you have to stop, right? You have to be motionless.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Even bringing that a bit more up to scratch and modernizing, I'm sure will be, you know, plenty for people who've...
I hope they take the opportunity to do as big of a job with it as they did with 2 and 3. I think that could be really cool because, Resident Evil 4 is one of the best games that's ever been made, and the version that exists is still... good today, like a little more archaic than maybe I guess I'm thinking, but like it there's a small coat of paint you could put on that game that would be enough, and it would be nice to see a thicker coat
then
of paint.
Really go
right.
Yeah,
well, I've only played it in the VR and I didn't finish it, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the aesthetic, and then, you know, I was liking it because it reminded me of 8, and then I've gone to play, like, you know, Bloodborne and shit, so I love that sort of style. And I will play this. I tried the demo for, I think, the 2 remake and was like, okay, but the more like exploratory, you know, paths wrapping back around, but throughout a village and a bunch of levels is much more appealing to me than the house one. So,
and
yeah,
this is for me. The goofy kind of like Metal Gear Solid style story that it has in it that is like very silly but played seriously. I hope they retain that sort of vibe too. Mm. And I think, especially with that VR version that came out for Oculus, there's every chance that this will have a VR mode too, because that was the other thing they announced was Resident Evil 8 on the PS5 will get VR for the PSVR 2.
Yes.
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 The difference,
I think,
being
I've said that all with the correct numbers at the end of each of those nouns.
I got the feeling it was, it was not a cross-platform thing.
And 7 was not. So I think this is the same sort of deal where 7 was a PlayStation VR exclusive.
Right.
And same deal here for 8.
Yeah.
But I'd play through 8 again. That'd be a cool if that was like, you'd hope that would be kind of like a day one or very early with this new headset. Because it's all, it sort of all exists. It's all already first person. There's not, I don't think there's like a great deal stylistically that they have to do to it.
No, and they've said they're launching with 20 games. And I think it's becoming more apparent that it won't be 20 brand new games or even, 20 new properties. It'll be at least partially, like No Man's Sky was one of the ones mentioned as well.
Yeah.
This, it'll be games that at least exist already with PSVR 2 versions.
And I'm with you, I think, because 7 was great in VR. I think 8 will be a lot of fun in VR. The terabytes of YouTube videos of people leaning into big vampire ladies' boobs in VR alone justify this being put back out. I think it's just a free update too if you own 8. I don't think this is a new game. I have assumed so, but I've realized I've not actually looked that up, but that is what 7's
VR mode
was.
That's what 7 was. I mean, it just is the game. It's like it's not, like I said, it's all already in first person, so it's not like it's, if it was a much older game and it was in third-person perspective, so they really were rebuilding it.
I
got the impression that it was an update.
I will go as far as saying it has to be, or it is a bit rich.
I could flip my fucking lid if it's not.
I could see it being like a token amount of money, like a $15 if you already own it on PS5.
Because
the issue is, you can get it on PS4 as well, the base game, right?
They haven't said yet.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. Spider-Man Remastered coming to the PC.
Yeah.
Fun game if you don't have a PlayStation and you got a PC. Definitely recommend that.
Just the first one, not Miles Morales.
Which
is a little bit weird.
Maybe they'll announce that in another 6 months or something.
They will, or however long it was between Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales. PlayStation games on PC seem to just be this 2, 3, 4 years behind thing. But because there was all that, I don't know where it was, back-end stuff of Returnal getting things put up on Steam.
Yes.
For it coming out on PC too. So every PlayStation exclusive game will show up on PC at some point.
Yeah.
It seems like is the thing going forward, which is cool.
Yeah.
A bigger trailer for VR Horizon.
Yep.
What's it called?
Call of the Mountain,
I think is right.
Yeah.
So, we'd seen a little glimpse of that before, but I think we didn't really know what it was. Mm. And this looks great.
Yeah.
I'm way more interested in playing this than I am in finishing either of the actual Horizon games that I've put a few hours into and then sort of left behind. This kind of looks like it's got a lot of similar elements to The Climb, which I love on Oculus, kind of rock climbing thing. So you're doing that and then you're climbing around and then you're interacting with these like the big kind of machine monster things that are in the first two games. Mm-hmm. Which seems like it'll be really fucking cool to look at them with this headset on. It's a separate story. You're not Aloy. You're some bloke.
You're interacting with them by shooting a bow and arrow.
I was going to say,
that's the
bow and arrow mechanics on VR though. That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
I'm sure they've already existed in other games, but in essentially a AAA first party ish title.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be super smooth, super, super fun to play.
Yep.
I'm excited to see how this VR 2 looks. Because the PlayStation VR, going back to that after getting a little more adjusted to like PC and Oculus-y VR. Having that higher fidelity or the lower fidelity on the original PSVR is a little hard to go back to.
It's so old now.
Yeah,
like
it is.
What is it,
2017, I think.
Yeah, right.
And so this being backward compatible with, I think, all of that stuff, other than the games, the one game that isn't PS4 to 5 backwards compatible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is cool. I'm looking. I hope that will just mean that all of those games are better looking.
Yep.
If you get one of these new ones, no date or anything. Even though this was a focused on VR and third parties, by which they meant basically just Capcom. But like,
yep.
No mention of when that's showing up.
I feel like there was a game that was dated for 2022 though. I think it might have been the Walking Dead one.
Yes, that's coming to PS4 as well, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's on Oculus as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's just coming out on all VR stuff.
I think, it said like PS5 or PSVR 2 update to come in the future. So I guess that means it's not coming out this year when it's put that way.
Yeah.
Because, Resident Evil 4 remake was March of next year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They didn't say anything about the 8 VR. So... I guess next year is most likely at this point. You'd think if it's June now and they're going to do it for Christmas, they'd have said something.
Yeah, when they were doing such a big focus on the games, which is a shame. I think we were predicting last step that seemed like a thing that would happen.
I'm sure it's what they wanted to happen, but, supply chains and stuff at the moment just probably mean that if you're trying to make more hardware, when you can't even make enough of the hardware that it is based on...
Mm. Well, one thing we are definitely getting this year, December the 2nd, the Callisto Protocol.
Oh, yes.
One of the worst names. Just a terrible...
Callisto, cool name.
Yeah.
I guess it sounds like an ice cream. I guess I'm just thinking of Calippo.
You're thinking of Calippo, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Because it makes me think of Calippo.
And it'll be out Calippo in the summer protocol. When it's hot.
Yeah.
And just a game that reminds you of eating a delicious icy pole.
Because the Callisto Protocol is a lot of the developers who made Dead Space.
Yeah.
One of the better names for a video game.
Yes. Yep.
It means two things.
Yep.
It's got the cool action word dead in it.
Yeah.
It's got the descriptive setting word space in it.
Space.
Mm-hmm. And then it means a design or art term that is nothing to do with what the game is about.
No,
but
not really.
It's a cool name. And the Callisto Protocol, though, looks like it could be a
They should
good
call
time.
It the Fibonacci Spiral.
Oh.
That's better.
It's actually better,
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Just an alien called the Fibonacci and you're spiraling because they're fucking trying to kill you.
Well, the ship's called the Fibonacci. And it's spiraling inside.
Yeah, nice.
The ship is one of those, it's shaped like a corkscrew because it spins in space, which creates artificial gravity.
Yep.
All right, you know what? Fuck this game. We've just invented a better one in 5 minutes. But this looks cool.
It looks sick. It looks so scary. And I'd never played Dead Space, but people are saying that it essentially looks like a follow-up. It's the next in the series, but it's just called something very stupid.
The fact that Dead Space remake is coming out as well, if you look at footage of the two of them side by side, I challenge you to tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke.
Okay.
And Dead Space was cool, especially the first one. So this harkens back to that.
Never played it, but was really into this trailer.
Yeah.
Excited for this.
Well-made trailer. I will. Yeah. Like, take away, having not played, or not knowing the gameplay of these games, fucking looked great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of don't remember. I watched all of this. Mm. And now that I'm trying, I just don't have a visual memory.
Well, something that
I can remember that fucking shit that I saw in an hour room. I can picture that.
Yeah,
really clearly.
Well, something that you may have a visual memory of because it was very striking in its art direction, Rollerdrome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Jet Set Radio Shooter.
Jet Set looked a bit, what was it called, Sable?
Yeah,
as
it looked
well,
like Sable.
In the palette, yeah, cel shaded.
It's Ollie Ollie World, people. So,
it is.
And that's, that also is a cel shaded cartoony look.
Yeah, so it's like from the start of the trailer, it looked to me like it was going to be a competitive online thing.
Yes.
But I don't believe that it is.
Okay.
I think it's a single play.
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's a shooter.
Right.
Yeah, it's a shooting game where you're doing roller skating and you're going up and getting air and time's kind of freezing and then you're kind of sniping people from up in the air in slow-mo.
It's a future death sport, right? It's roller blading, it's roller derby, but you've got guns.
Yeah.
And
what's that movie? Rollerball.
Rollerball.
Yeah.
Is that what happens in Rollerball?
Well, yeah. Mate, I think you go around in circles and you're like throwing a ball in, but it's like a death sport as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. The fact that it isn't a multiplayer arena combat thing is surprising.
I'm just verifying that.
I've made like that arenas. Assumption. It looked like it was taking place in enclosed arenas, but yeah, I don't know, maybe that's,
but that could be a cool thing, you know, if it starts like that in the story, I don't know, like Portal or whatever kind of goes into
right
different stuff, that could be cool. I wasn't particularly taken with this one for whatever reason. It looked maybe it's just early on, but it looked a little stilted and bare. There was something about it that didn't look fun.
Didn't look fluid,
no.
Which they nailed with the skateboarding game. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe it is early on.
It is, yeah. Single player, third person shooter.
Huh. Okay. All right. I mean, maybe even that still, you know, progresses throughout a series of arenas, but yeah.
Speaking of death sports, there's no sport in which death could be more of a factor than simply punching one another.
Oh, yeah.
And I reckon Street Fighter VI looks fucking sick.
Yeah, I haven't had much interest in it because I tried to play 5 and got it, and just we've talked about this heaps, but it's just the thing of sitting down and memorizing a moveset just isn't something that I'm into. But this,
you don't have to this one.
Yeah,
this has like a cool, like, not open world, but like a third person-y kind of running around in the world kind of thing that looks really sick.
It does. It has what looks like a single player kind of adventure mode or whatever, but also the way the fighting system is changing for this. Those kind of, so like quarter circle forward and punch to do a Hadouken or whatever is changing. So there's a mode you can use where it will have basically a button is your like special button.
Right.
And you do a button and a direction and that's all you have to do.
Smash
is that
Brothers
input.
Style.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
And why not fucking do that?
I didn't pick up on that in the trailer. That's awesome.
I think that might have been something on a website or something afterwards.
Right.
Fakevideogamenews.com.
No,
yeah. But it's so... And it makes no, like, the physical element of, like, having to get mechanically good at a fighting game like that. I understand the appeal of that, but at this, like, there's no difference between, the only thing it can make you is either good at it, at which point that's not a factor, right?
Yep.
Or bad at it enough where it is off-putting.
Right.
So if either way, you're both on the same level playing field. Like, I don't get... It doesn't matter.
Mm. I could have seen them... It is great that they're going, like, this is where these, like, get fighting games that come out now that are very popular on the competitive scene, that's the format that they use, so we're going to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could have seen them very easily, like, doubling down and just going, like, no, all of those exist and that's great, but this is what we've always been about. This is what people come to this series for, so we're just going to... You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if they had have just gone like, nah, this is what this series is. So it's cool to,
And that's the misstep that they made, right, with 5.
Yeah.
That was focusing more on being this like esport.
Mm-hmm.
And while all other fighting games pretty much were moving in the other direction of like, here's this cinematic story mode.
Yep.
And here's all this interesting stuff that isn't just combat, here's all this wacky shit in Tekken, here's every other Tekken game in this Tekken game, here's $100,000 worth of DLC for this as well.
Yep.
But like, it's cool to see them kind of catching up.
Yeah, and the what we saw of
hopefully
the little story mode looked really cool. And I've always loved the art design of the Street Fighter games. The character design I think is really cool. And just the look of this is great. The like the big chunky proportions of people and the like kind of graffiti-ish sort of effects on the screen as people are punching and the color palettes and stuff. It looks great.
Getting like the older, grislier Ryu and stuff as well is cool.
Divorced dad Ken.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the whole roster leaked. I think there's some key character art that went up online that kind of shows.
I think 10 or
characters.
Something. I'm not sure if it was everyone, but it was a bunch of them.
Chunk, yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, that looks great.
Including divorced dad Ken. You can only play as him every second weekend. they fixed the logo as well for Street Fighter 6.
Yes.
I love that. Just not saying anything about it. Just chucking it out there.
The way it kind of animated onto the screen at the end of the trailer, though, did look like they'd gone and get a load of this, please.
They should have animated a little like wink to the like the
way
six,
better.
Like,
it's got the little 6 in there, and that spells out the S.
I can't believe they didn't use our version.
Yeah.
That's,
go watch our video on YouTube of us trying to fix the logo.
Never even reached out to us.
Eternites.
No, thank you.
Oh, that was like the like anime dating RPG.
RPG,
thing.
Yeah.
Action. Yeah, I thought this looked all right. Like kind of a kind of a weird personary sort of like platinum action game kind of hybrid-y thing. Yeah, a little kind of earnest, but yeah, I was kind of interested enough to keep an eye on and see how it pans out.
It set off the fuck this alarm bells for me too, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like it stuck out amongst all the other games that were featured as well, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be really fun.
Mate, and also just that Eternite.
Eternite is
bad
really
name. Bad
the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah. Game names, they're getting worse.
Yeah.
They're really getting worse. They've always been bad, but in the last couple of years.
It's like
Jazz Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
Stray, coming out on July 19.
Yes.
This is something I've been very interested in since it was first revealed. Futuristic little kind of neon city at night with lots of populated by lots of little robots. I don't think there's any humans in any of the trailers we've seen.
Yeah, I think that was part of the story, right?
Yeah.
It's specifically, like a robot inhabited city.
And it seems as though it's probably organic life isn't there because they're afraid of this cat.
Right.
Or at least there's a guy mopping or something in an alleyway, I guess brushing, probably not mopping, sweeping.
Mopping the floor of an alleyway.
Yeah. Well, if it's like a robot alleyway, it could be like slick.
Could be cleaning up the mail room.
But I wish someone would.
You gotta hose that down, surely.
You gotta do something about it, but so far, nothing.
Oh.
I tried to call the building manager, but no fucking answer.
Oh, fuck.
What a move. Toilet. You're not even fully moved in yet, and you're already having a like,
yeah.
Hit up the body corporate.
Multiple times. Anyway, there's been a bunch of. Anyway.
You play as a stray cat.
Yes.
This looks awesome. I'm so excited to play this. I'm very glad that it's, it's not too much longer to wait. Only about a month.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't that into it when we first saw it, just because I don't know that I love the idea of playing as like an animal. But I guess that's purposefully changing the approach to platforming and exploration and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just need a new game to play. So yeah. I'm happy for this to come out soon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this looks really stunning and hope it lives up to the hype that the trailers have put out there.
Mm.
A couple of other things. Tunic's coming to PlayStation, but that's I don't really know why that was in this presentation. Yeah. It's out on other things.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it is a very good game.
I have heard, people who are PlayStation owners haven't been able to play yet and it did. It has such a style that I could see people being really keen to play it.
Yes,
and
true.
And you should, if you've only got a PlayStation, play Tunic when it comes out.
Oh, and Stray is going to be on that, what is it called?
That's right, Deluxe. PlayStation Extra something.
Yeah, the Game Pass thing, even though they've said stuff won't be like day one on it.
Yeah,
This is going to be day one on it. So
I guess they've said that their first party games won't be day one on it. So this is their first party game.
This is more like Maquette coming to PS Plus day one or something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a new trailer for the 16th installment in the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah. It's a big number. It's a big enough number that it's silly now.
Well, that we were led to believe back in the 80s that was going to be the Final Fantasy.
That was my understanding of the title.
Yeah.
You weren't even born yet.
And yet, I had a firm enough understanding of the title that even I, an imagined person at that point, could be betrayed by it.
Favorite thing about this trailer was that the studio, one of the studio logos was, what, creative team number 3?
I think creative...
Or creative studio number 3?
It's the creative business unit 3.
That's it.
It's a...
it's such a good name.
Yeah, but they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Creative Business Unit 3 are a fantastic developer
in
this fucking cyberpunk world we live in. It looks really good. The graphics have, I think, notably improved since the last time they sort of showed it off.
Yep.
This is, I guess, that trailer that they've been saying, oh, yeah, it's been ready for a while, and they just told us to hold off. And then with all the talk around Final Fantasy 16 recently seeming like, oh, yeah, it's basically done, then they said, and next year, by the way, March of next year, I think another March of next year one.
Right.
But it looks cool. The combat looks Final Fantasy VII remake-ish again, which is exactly the direction they should be going in.
And then the summon, there was a big focus on the summons.
Yeah, it's similar to Final Fantasy 14, which is the creative business unit 3 as well, I think.
Okay.
And it's the same director, certainly.
Right.
I don't know if it's the exact same studio, but it's the same director. Where, they're like these gods who are very politically important because they are powerful and so they're used as weapons, kind of. It seems to be the story in this.
Right.
And a big political, ridiculous, huge summons, Final Fantasy. Cook me up a serving, please.
Yeah.
Just one.
Come on, Prompto. Cook me up a serving of Final Fantasy 16.
You know what? I'll go back for seconds sometimes.
Yeah, this looks fantastic. I love that they're going medieval again on our asses. Mm. I couldn't get a full grasp of like how... Because they focused on the summons and how you use them, and it's like we summon them and then they've got their own health bar and stuff. I don't know if you're playing as them.
It's very Final Fantasy 12 looking where you didn't really play as them. They just sort of replaced your party and you watched them do their thing for a bit.
Right. Rather than them being like just one big magic spell, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. And complex story, maybe a little bit better put together this time as opposed to 15 in terms of like not cutting content and not having a movie attached, like make it a bit more easy to follow.
I mean,
please,
if it's anything like 14,
please create a business unit number 3.
I'm shy.
I think that'll be the case. Cause like they're able to do big, or, you know, this director is able to do big, sort of world scale stories about big political swings back and forth and stuff, but still make it kind of personal and whatever. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy games are great.
They are.
Mm.
You forget every time there's not one currently sort of in the view.
Yep.
I always kind of just don't think about Final Fantasy for some reason. Mm. And then one shows up and I'm like, this is amazing.
Well, yeah, playing that Intermission DLC, I was like, oh, that's right. 7 Remake was fucking fun to play. Yeah.
It was so good.
I think after 13 even maybe it is or something. That every time one has come out, it's like, oh, here we go. Is Final Fantasy going to be fucking shit?
Right.
And almost every time, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people were pretty into 15 and then, that awesome 7 Remake, which was just came along at just the right time. Nothing but hours and hours on end to sink into it in a big old Lockie. But I'm kind of not really engaging with anything about 16 too much because it still feels like it's such a long way away that it's kind of like, it feels a bit futile at the moment to get too revved up on. But
it honestly feels like that with almost every game that
yes.
Because that's
something we didn't talk about in the news segment prior to the State of Play was that there's a rumor that God of War has been delayed to 2023.
I was just about to say that it didn't show up in this, which was their... you'd assume large State of Play for the year.
Yes.
Because it's around when E3 would have been.
Mm.
And if it's coming out this year, it'd be weird with the VR thing or whatever, it'd be weird for it not to have been here. So would not be surprising at all.
Yeah. So I think literally today was the journalists being like, we've heard that it's
happening right now, live with us. Yeah. That's us doing it.
We're journalists. Well, we're breaking it.
So, we've got about as much integrity as mainstream journalists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know a company that's got a lot of integrity? Manscaped.
Will they be putting out a release this year? Because no one else is. Do you realize just before we do this, there's no more video games coming out this year?
Wow.
We're fucked.
We're going to have to make our own. That's the only solution. And speaking of using technology, Manscaped puts together some of the finest in men's personal grooming technology I've ever fucking seen.
If you want a head as bald as Kratos,
yes,
but earlier than 2023, you can do that.
If you want to sculpt a beard as fine as Kratos, you can do that right now.
If you want pubic hair as, I assume, wild as Kratos is, then ignore the following few minutes. But if you want it to be neat and hygienic,
they might all burn off when he goes rage mode, when he goes sicko mode,
non-existent like his little boy. You have to assume,
he'd cut him with the big with the chains,
the blades of chaos. Or whatever they are. Yeah. Well, these are real life blades of chaos. Manscaped. They produce the Lawnmower 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
We're all big fans of that. That comes in the Performance Package 4.0, which has a whole bunch of stuff. They say here in the copy, Manscaped has the Performance Package 4.0 to keep the party in your pants looking crisp and refreshing.
Crisp?
Okay.
And refreshing.
Yeah, okay.
Like a nice lemonade. Like a
exactly. Yeah. That's not a description of a party. That's a description of a drink.
It's not certainly not a description of a party in my pants.
No.
but this is summer copy. It's obviously not summer here. It's winter.
It's fucking freezing.
I think I read... Did I read this last time? Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian sand.
No, you did not.
I don't remember the word Floridian popping up.
Yeah, I would definitely remember that.
In summer, you want to kill some cold beers and barbecues. Not kill the vibe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that sentence.
I mean, it's summer, you know. Yeah. It's almost time to go on break.
That's a strange read to just be like, oh, I'm murdering this drink.
Yeah.
I'm making it disappear from existence.
This drink's family is grieving.
They could have said, if you want to crush some beers, not crush the vibe.
Yeah.
That would work. Yep. Or just a completely different sentence.
No, it has to be this sentence. Dive headfirst into summer or winter by joining the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for hot guy summer or cold boy winter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool boy winter. By going to manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY.
There's 4 million of us.
At least.
Wow, we should all get together.
Yeah. Okay. All rub our balls together and just squeak like this. That'll be so smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And then we could have a big, oh, Manscaped, they should make a beach ball, but it's a testicle and it's cleanly shaved.
Yes, nice.
Sure.
That would be a great bit of merch. And we can bump it around the beach.
Bump it around like the MCG and just screams circling the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Manscaped, for
Manscaped.
Supporting the show yet again.
Good products.
Bit more news. There's been a bit more Sonic Frontiers previews. There was like a combat video, which looks boring as all get out.
Yeah.
IGN had a hands-on preview where they're pretty positive on it, but then they've been releasing all the video stuff in partnership with Sonic Team, so I don't think that's too much of an unbiased viewpoint that they've put up.
Agreed.
And I don't know, man. It just it's hard to tell with Sonic games in particular whether it's easy to tell with Sonic games. They're gonna be bad,
right?
And maybe this it's hard to tell with a new, different looking Sonic game
how it's gonna be bad.
In what specific way it's gonna be bad?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've looked at a game at footage of a game and not been able to understand what it's gonna be like. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it looks boring
playing it. Maybe it's just boring, but I can't believe that that's it.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like that Balan Wonderworld or something where it's just like, this can't be it, right? And then it comes out like, oh, it is.
It's just not very well made. Yeah.
I'll tell you what is a good Sonic game. Sonic CD, which you can play.
Ooh.
Did you see this coming out?
On the Mega Drive 2.
Mega Drive Mini 2.
Oh,
in Japan only, though.
Japan only. Yeah. Oh. Mega Drive Mini 2, which is, again, just an insane, similar to those Game Gear Micros that they put out that each had four games on them.
Right.
And there were four different ones. So if you wanted the full suite of Game Gear games, you had to buy all four of these different little mini things.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they came out with like a Happy Meal, right? They were the Happy Meal toys.
Oh, I don't remember.
They just rotated them through.
You're a fuckhead, mate. Four different colours, four different games on each one, which, again, is
That's
just
right.
a bizarre.
That is weird.
I mean, not even, it's kind of, it's kind of like a very Japanese move, but it's also just like a weird Sega sort of shitty company move where it's like, oh, they're predominantly little knickknacks, but it's like, give people the fuck, like,
put them all on all of them. Just make them different colors.
Yeah, yes, bring it out a whole second mini thing for just this different suite of games is like, it's so weird.
You don't have two more fucking kilobytes on there to fit another Game Gear game on.
It's like those Nintendo alarm clocks.
The Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Sure.
They were more novelty. It's like, it's an alarm clock where you can play Game & Watch.
Yeah.
This is like, yeah, just put all the games on this little,
Because this one is one of the sort of redesigned Mega Drives that were a little smaller and more square looking with a Mega CD attached to it in a mini form. And it's got, I think, 50 games on it, including CD games like Sonic CD and like Shining Into Darkness and a bunch of old, obviously, Mega Drive and Mega CD games.
Oh.
Or Genesis and Sega CD games if you're in America.
Uh-huh.
Which also, if you are in America, fuck off. This is for Japan only.
This currently. Because
they also were saying recently, Sega, they put out some, I don't remember if this was like in an interview or like something they put out. I think it might have just been an interview with someone. With someone relevant to this question.
Okay.
Which For God's sakes, tell us what the quote is.
You need to understand the full context of it. It was that they hadn't made a Saturn or a Dreamcast Mini yet because of like supply issues again with parts, and it'd just be too expensive to do right now for those ones. But like,
I'd be down for a Dreamcast Mini for sure.
Fucking awesome.
Mm. Yeah.
A Saturn Mini too. I'd like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never bought any one of these minis because
I'd love to see you in a Saturn Mini, Knox. It looked delightful.
Oh, a mini skirt made of satin.
Yes.
All right. I thought it, because a Saturn is a type of car. And I was like, did they put out a small, like a tiny Saturn car?
No. S-A-T-I-N.
I'm never thinking about clothes. Yeah, it'd be good, but cost prohibitive. Yeah. Apparently.
Another weird move from the week. The Nickelodeon fighting game, All-Star Brawl or whatever it's called, is it's a PS Plus game this month.
Mm-hmm.
And it also got patched in voice acting for the characters and items which weren't in the game before.
Items.
Yeah. And this came out of like October last year or something.
This came out a while ago, yeah. The voice acting thing, I remember them at the time. I remember a lot of the reviews at the time being very critical that it felt like the animations were good and it was a solid Smash Brothers clone. Like mechanically it felt very good, but it just felt quite hollow in its presentation because all the characters are mute.
Yeah.
But and the developer saying that at the time that they were hoping to be able to put that in, which I think it probably... My guess would be that it has something to do with money, like now that the game's been out for a bit and maybe it's sold enough that that's given them the money to afford to do the licensing or pay the actors or whatever they've had to do to get that to happen.
I mean, that Sony pays the games that go on to PS Plus, so it could be that.
Be something like maybe. That, yeah. But items not being in there is so weird.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know there wasn't. I guess I just didn't pay much attention to Nickelodeon All-Stars Fighting Brawler, but... Mm. SpongeBob's thing is that he's like, or whatever he does, get me to do it. But like the fact that they put it in, great. The fact that it wasn't in there in the first place blows me away.
I was interested. I was thinking about buying it when it came out and then seeing in the reviews that it's like you're getting it for that kind of nostalgia of like, you know, all those characters. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm not. And so, yeah, I've had a quick go of it and it's... Yeah, it's like presentation-wise, it is pretty bare bones. Like it's all the menus and the UI is like pretty slapdash. But the animations of the characters and their movesets are cool. Like you can tell that, you know, whoever's done it has a, you know, keen understanding and respect for the source material. Like, yeah, playing as CatDog, beating up Ren and Stimpy, bit of fun.
Yeah.
Are they a pair character or is it
they
Ren?
Are.
Oh, okay.
It's kinda cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And they've added, also now because Nickelodeon owns a bunch of like weird stuff that people of our age wouldn't associate with the Nickelodeon that we grew up with.
Mm.
The Ninja Turtles and Garfield are in there as well.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, I think I knew that Nickelodeon owned the Ninja Turtles now, but I didn't know that Garfield was under their umbrella.
How does Nickelodeon... I don't understand what the relationship between Nickelodeon and this developer is then. Mm. If they've got enough money to buy Garfield and not enough to pay Garfield to go, well, it's a Monday or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to get Bill Murray
really
for Garfield.
Really weird. Yeah, that's true. So. Maybe best not. So, like, but at least Ren.
Yeah.
You couldn't get fucking it's Thingo, right?
Billy West.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Yep.
He's near a microphone at all times, just sneakily.
He lives in the booth.
He's the booth babe.
He is a booth babe.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
But okay. If you're looking for it is a good Smash Brothers clone. Apparently the people that are really into those, like, you know, the deep level of like competitive fighting game Smash clone kind of stuff. I think it's been relatively popular with those people.
Yeah, right.
I think they're enjoying it. And it feels mechanically very, very similar.
Yeah.
It's got all the, like, you know, platforms.
Hey, if you got PS Plus, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it right when I get home.
I believe I've added it to my library.
I'm going
to
take a big step over a human shit. I think it's a human shit. That's an assumption I'm making. Could have been a dog.
Could have been someone with, a big dog and just being really rude and shitty and not very community minded.
Could have been Clifford.
Could have been Clifford. Is he in any of these fighting games?
No, I wonder who owns Clifford.
Yeah.
Free agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to come out on top in the big brawler brawl?
And they're still adding characters to this game, by the way. They've got Rocco is going to be in it soon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting in for Rocco.
Yeah.
Will
yeah.
they have Probably voices from day one? Or
I don't know.
That is a good question and a weird one to have to ask.
Got
to
get Carlos Alizaki, I think he's... I forget how
is
to pronounce
Rocco.
Is Rocco.
Really?
He's in Reno 911.
Ah. Who is he in Reno 911?
I've never seen it. Oh. I don't know.
Okay. Great.
But he's Rocco in Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, if, I love that.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're talking voice acting, I can testify to one of the silliest pieces of voice acting I've heard in a long time is the main character in Sniper Elite 5.
Oh, yes.
Who's got a very deep, very, like, if you were trying to do a parody of a generic video game protagonist,
yes. yep.
you would not do this one because it would be too much.
It'd be, it's too boring, even for the parody.
It's crazy. It's too,
yeah. He certainly does love to point out stuff that is as clear as day.
I guess I've got to climb up this ladder now.
My sniper rifle is like any other kind of gun, but I can see from much further away.
The scope on top is a telescopic lens that allows me to... Objects aren't as big as they seem to my eye. They're further away, and I can correct for the distance with my sniper rifle. Why are you pausing? What are you No, don't go to quick game. What's going on?
If I pull this trigger, it goes bang.
Or sometimes it goes... Chack.
Left foot, right foot, left foot. Yeah, it's...
Sniper Elite 5.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass.
You know it is.
And it's on everything else. But yeah, if you are interested in what we're saying and you have Game Pass, do not be fooled. Do not...
What?
Do not forget that you've got Game Pass and go to Steam and pay money for it.
Yes. Did you?
Get it? No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I feel like it's always worth pointing out.
Yeah, yes.
I think we've all individually done that at one point or another with certain games.
Yeah. So it's made by a developer called Rebellion... Cool logo at the start. Don't know shit about them. Don't know what else they've made.
Four other sniper elites. So what's Zombie Army, Zombie Sniper? What's that game that I'm thinking of?
Probably sniping zombies.
Yeah, I think it's where you'd zombie snipe.
I think that might be the same people. But yeah, I've never played a
sniper. No, they've only made... I'll check. They've made, famously... The Alien versus Predator franchise of games.
Okay. Zombie Army is Sniper Elite spin-off.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I believe. It seems to be, from what I'm looking at...
Oh, they've made heaps of games.
Zombie Army Trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were a spin-off of Sniper Elite, and yeah, now they're up to Sniper Elite.
They made a mobile game called Judge Dredd versus Zombies.
Ooh.
A bunch of Sniper Elite games. Battle Zone. Strange Brigade, that free-to-play game a couple of years ago.
I've never played one of their games, and I've not played Sniper Elite 5, but we just recorded a video that is probably up.
Probably.
Going to be up soon of you, Ben, playing Sniper Elite 5. You two have been playing it. It looks pretty decent.
It's, this was not on my radar at all, and even from seeing it on Game Pass, I just thought it's very...
The game itself was like a Sniper Elite.
Yeah, it was crouching down in the grass. It was, the very effective camouflage of having a title and cover art that looks like just the most generic looking shooter game of all time. And then hearing it described as it's Hitman. It's set in World War II, which, I loved Hitman 3.
Back when hitmen were hitmen.
Back
when hitmen hit women.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
The 1940s and 50s.
The greatest generation.
It's fun. It's good.
I think it's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks great. I don't think it's quite grabbing me in the same way that Hitman does.
It's not quite as creative.
Yes.
And it doesn't probably lend itself to making you feel as creative as
I think
as
there's
a
lot more, like, yeah, there's kind of pros and cons of it being the World War II setting. It's like, it's very immersive. You can, like, the whole thing of, like, you're killing Nazis. Like, it's so fun and satisfying to have the enemy, and it's just like guilt-free killing of the most, like, the biggest villains in history. We were talking in the video about a common thing that people have an issue with in something like Uncharted is, like, you're just destroying all these people who are just most of them just trying to do the same thing that you're doing. Just get the treasure.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, not, they're evil in the, but they're not, you know, they're not like that evil. They're just like rich dudes who want the treasure.
Kind of like in Hitman where, like, you know, your targets are often people who've earned an assassination.
Yes.
But especially in those recent ones, they've tried to make a story where Codename 47 is a sympathetic character. And then, but you can just very easily kill random people or whatever. You get it.
And there's a mission in 3 where you're just taking out just other agents from your from your thing, which is a bit like, again, kind of breaks the whole, the great thing in those games is, you're taking on the very, like, the super powerful and just evil people. So, yeah, there's something to be gained in that being the setting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it does lose that thing of what I love about Hitman is, like, firing up a new level and just not... It's like, this could be anything.
Right.
What country are we in? What's the setup? Like, they all had such, like, a unique kind of vibe and flavor to them, and the whole game feels so varied, and this is very... It's still doing a bit within those constraints.
Yep.
But it's but you kind of know what you're getting a little bit more.
Yes.
It comes across a lot more. This is like maybe a pedantic distinction, but like a Splinter Cell rather than a Hitman.
Mm. Yeah.
They were a little simpler in the stealth, a little less, like creative, like you said, or wacky.
And even. I guess another distinction is that in Hitman, apart from like certain restricted areas, you can just walk around. You can get the lay of the land. You can plan things out better where this is, you're in a war zone and anyone on the other side is going to shoot you.
You are wearing opposite uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
One is blue, one is red.
And the other one, the pants are on the arms and the arms are on the legs.
It's a crazy world. It's the cheeseburgers eat people. But
it's annoying that you can't like Hitman style just dress up as like a Nazi maid and
also
just
that,
walk around undetected.
That is also true. That is a fun thing about Hitman is using disguises. And
just going like, yeah, cool, now I can go anywhere in this house. I'll find where all the little hidden bits and bobs are. Like, yeah, you really do feel in this one like you're a lot more. That is the biggest difference between it and Hitman. Like Hitman having that thing where you're like, yes, I've outsmarted these people. I've found my way in. You are kind of constantly being pursued and on edge in Sniper Elite 5.
Yes. Yeah, or at least you're constantly on edge. If you play it well, you're not constantly being pursued.
Well, I mean,
have a look at our video for the opposite way to play.
But I mean, in the sense that like you're
never safe.
There are people that are out there hunting, like that are aware of your, even before you've tipped them off, they're like, all those missions, it's like they're
on waiting
high
alert. For you.
Yeah, they're waiting for you.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, it's fun. It's got this, what I believe to be a staple of the series, an incredibly over the top, gory, slow motion kill cam.
Yep.
That shows the bullet piercing through vital organs, and the first time you make that happen is incredibly. Well, you know, every time you make it happen, incredibly satisfying.
It's very cool.
Seeing people like you can set up little bomb booby traps and they fly through the air. It's effective in the same way it's used in Mortal Kombat, similar to that sort of thing. We said that in the video too, but like
it's gratuitous.
Yes,
but it is. Fuck it. It's fun and it's cool.
And it's that right. That seems to be the whole game is that style of thoughtless, where it's just like, why is this celebrating? Oh, it's just cause. Yeah, it's just cool, man.
I think aesthetically or story or, you know, vibe-wise, I think it's that. But then from what I can tell, like there's literally millions of like customization options for weapons.
Okay.
There's like, you know, there's wind factor. There's like bullet drop. Like it really is quite in-depth when it comes to being a sniper.
Right.
The way that, we played it just before was more like combat. It's like if it was a level of Wolfenstein where you could also sneak more effectively.
It seemed very, again, Splinter Cell is the closest, like those sort of early Splinter Cell games, this reminds me a lot of that.
Right.
But just with, just like kind of a more generic kind of polish.
Yeah.
But
it's a little bit, because like, I played Metal Gear Solid 5 again, maybe last year or something. Mm. It's not that far off that either. It's certainly in the way that I was playing it of just like, just kill a few guys and then maybe this part of the level is quiet now and then run over there. And
you know what it is, which is almost like you could read this as damning with faint praise, but it's a great Game Pass game.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have access to it. So we're going to start doing a thing on the show where on our Patreon, we are going to, when there's like a big release that it feels like a lot of people are playing, we're going to ask for some reviews.
Yes.
From people who are playing the game that we're going to be talking about, and we'll read a couple of them out on the show from time to time. So, yeah, if you'd like to support the show, you can through filthycasuals.com.au, and mm-hmm. you also get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Patreon, you might get to...
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to go directly there.
Hey, google.com.
Yeah.
You can get almost anything there. It's crazy.
So a lot of the reviews that we got from listeners were basically kind of all along the same track.
Okay.
Like saying, you know, fun, like good stuff in there, but not crazy revolutionary, not a masterpiece by any stretch.
Okay.
Ben Kelly's, the most concise one is also maybe my favorite. Ben Kelly says, "Honey, we have Hitman at home."
Right.
And I think I'll read this one out from Ian because it's, I think it sort of sums up a lot of what a lot of other people said in that same thread. "Hitman World War II, the level design is amazing. Nailing a 500-meter sniper shot is very satisfying and the kill cam is very well done, but you'll turn it off after the first few times you see it. It's quite fun, but ultimately there isn't really much here that Hitman doesn't do better. And once you put it down, you probably won't pick it back up."
Mm.
So that's kind of, that seems to be what people kind of think of it. It's a well-made product. It yep. looks great. The environment design is amazing, and yeah, it is really satisfying picking people off. But people that are fans of the series, I get the impression that they're not as into this one as previous ones. Like I've seen a few people be like, it's sort of
the same as all the others.
It's rehashing a bit,
right.
That well, I could imagine running dry pretty quickly. But it also seems like that description and like what we're saying about it seems to be what they're trying to make.
Absolutely.
Yes. As well.
Absolutely.
It's got a weird feeling of like, yeah, we know. Yeah, we don't care.
I don't feel like it's really, that's the thing. Yeah, I agree. I don't feel like it's really failing at anything it's doing. It's like, it's kind of got this weird presentation that's like, sort that feels a bit... like, even though it looks very nice, it's also a little bit, like, low rent. Like, it feels a bit...
I mean, I was going to say, like... So there's, cut scenes and intro, you know, animations and stuff like that. And it's... like, you've seen it before in good video games.
Yeah.
This is not bad. This is not poorly executed. I'd mentioned something like Wolfenstein before where it's, like, the newer games have such a strong aesthetic. Like, they really do, and they're... I think a level above even other AAA games in the way that they present that stuff, that era, and that take on it. This is just a straight down the line, competent way to execute this.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And
it's
got all that
memorable.
Satisfying stuff where you're heading to the marker, you're finding a little, like, you know, a little room or a little area that then the next time you do the level, you can start from a different position and you're unlocking stuff as you go to...
Right.
So, yeah, if you've played Hitman to death and you like that style, then definitely this will gel with you a lot. If you've thrashed that style of game before...
if you have literally no other option other than to move on to a different game.
Yes. But this is a really fun game. Like, I like it. I'm not going back to the other ones and I'm... glad that it was on Game Pass.
Yep.
But it's been fun to play. I'm going to keep going.
Like, yeah, I've really been enjoying my time with it.
It's
good time for a game like this to come out too, when there's such a window here for it to get noticed.
I think that's why I played it.
Yeah.
Well, something that I think is doing something pretty fresh and out of the box is the other thing I've been sinking a lot of time into this week, a game called Card Shark, which is out now on Steam and Switch and others?
I don't know.
PS and Xbox?
I'm not sure.
Maybe not.
Actually.
You guys talk and I'll tell you in a minute.
All right. So this is a Devolver Digital published game.
Yep.
Maintains their streak of high quality from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It is, how would you describe it?
I thought from the trailers that you would be playing cards in it. And because it sets up that it's about playing cards and it's about cheating at cards. And I kind of thought there would be a fundamental mechanic of it being an actual simulation of playing cards.
Yeah, it's not like a poker game or blackjack, and it is also not a deck building card combat game. I don't think it's that.
It is all about learning these techniques of, so you are a mute, what are you? You're a little waiter that that goes on a journey with this guy who comes into the little inn that you work in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go around with him doing card games with different people.
It's in pre-revolutionary France.
Yes.
As well.
There's like a little story kind of going alongside that, but you're, each level you are learning a new technique mm-hmm. about how to cheat at cards, and often it's like, here's a new thing that I'm teaching you, and then you've got to combine it with this thing that I've already taught you.
Yeah.
And then you go into the match, and you are basically having to pull off a series of moves that are anything from like looking through a deck and quickly finding like three specific cards, or pulling off a series of like quick time things, yep. or
like taking a peek at your opponent's cards and then communicating their values to your mate using like rubbing, cleaning the table in counterclockwise is a spade, and yep. holding up this many fingers when you're holding your own cards is a king or whatever.
Six clubs. Sorry.
Exactly, that kind of subtle sort yeah. of gameplay, yeah.
So it's basically remembering these inputs and pulling them off quickly, because then when you're playing these card games, there's a little meter down the bottom of the person that you're playing against and how suspicious they're getting of you, and yep. the longer that you take to do all this stuff. So it's basically, you've got this like time limit to, so you kind of have to. And as it's gotten further on, like I'm having a few where I'm having to go back and do it like yeah. multiple times, because I'm just not doing it quickly enough. So it really does do a great job of replicating that like high stakes thing of like, yeah, I'm cheating and time is of the essence. Like I do really, like I've got to quickly pull this off, because otherwise they're going to notice what I'm doing. It's great.
Yeah.
That the pitch doesn't do a great job of selling it.
I'm having a difficult time. I haven't played this, and I'm having a difficult time imagining myself playing it.
So like
I've got my hands on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it is Steam and Switch.
Okay.
I'm picturing that.
Yep.
I've got my right hand on the mouse.
Yep.
That's just my preference.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the left if you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what I'm doing.
Okay, so picture this. So visual style is very like illustration, watercolor, but like a lot of it starts off like an adventure game.
Okay.
2D. And you're working with your mate, the Compte, this French
now,
guy.
I'm lost.
I believe it means, actually, I don't know.
Compte troll.
Count, maybe?
Okay.
I thought French. Count, yeah, yeah. But I don't know.
He is basically the guy who knows all the tricks. And oftentimes you are there as his little friend, or basically often pouring the wine. So he will go, he'll have taught you something, this new method, and then you'll be at the game. And then the game starts and he'll be like, boy, pour me some wine and give our friend some wine. And so you're like, click on the friend, and then it'll switch to a view of you pouring the wine, and say you'll click and drag for the how fast you pour the wine.
Right.
And then as that's happening, the screen will switch to a view of you looking at that guy's cards,
mm-hmm.
and he'll slowly bring them into your view accidentally, and you'll be like trying to essentially memorize, cool. say, the highest card.
Yeah.
So that happens. You put that away. And then,
but at the same time, the way that you're looking at his cards is by pouring him the wine.
Yeah.
So on the Switch, it's like you're holding the left stick across to pour the wine, and you kind of have to like be noticing what his highest card is, but also keeping an eye on the glass of wine.
Right.
Because if you pour too much in, then it spills, and then they get more suspicious. So you're sort
right.
of
okay, cool.
You're having to kind of
yeah,
look and also just like kind of pour it as slowly as you can.
Yes.
Because sometimes they take ages to sort of slowly raise their cards up.
Yep.
So.
And so like that'll stop, and then it'll go to the next little essentially mini game, which is now you have to mop the table and let your compatriot know what the card was. So you go to have remembered, it's the Queen of Spades.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, so picking up the glass... in the middle portion is a queen.
And this is all from memory.
This is all from memory.
Great.
And you're all doing it on PC with the mouse, clicking and dragging. Pick up the cup at this point and it says queen. And it does show you, you'll get a like, it'll change on the left-hand side so you know what you're indicating.
Right.
And then you pick up the cup and then, oh, it's a spade. Mop counterclockwise, which again, clicking and dragging. And then okay. let it go. Bing. Correct card, correct suit. And it's just a series of mini games like that.
A little mini game, sort of puzzle memory game.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
sounds sick.
With yeah. a beautiful coat of paint.
Yes.
It looks stunning.
Yep.
It's like this kind of beautiful, like sort of very painterly. The environments look great. The yep. character animations are great. The music is beautiful.
Yes.
All the UI and the presentation is just So good. It is pretty, like, it's tricky, but yeah. Sort of what you're doing is very simplistic, but it's all, yeah, it's so much of the heavy lifting is done by, yeah, how great the all the design and the artwork and everything is.
Yeah, I've found the mouse controls to be a little bit imprecise because it's like, okay, well, you have to wait for like this animation to stop to then, like, you know, start doing your inputs or clicking and dragging. But if you click too early, it just won't register it. If you click too late, it means you've had to wait for a bit. And that, again, that suspicion meter is going up. So it could be fine-tuned, or maybe it's just better on a console. But that is maybe the one sort of crack in the picture of, like,
okay,
that sheen of, you know, polish.
Yeah. And then you're getting money, like you're winning money from these card games that you're playing. And if you lose enough, you lose all your money. And then you have to go to a little part on the map where you just shake people down by playing three card Monty to get, like,
yes,
to build your money back up. And there's kind of, it's like the three card Monty is all little quick time events, but you're choosing halfway through whether you want to cheat or do it honestly. So you cheat a bunch of times in a row, but then you notice, oh, that person's starting to get a bit suspicious. Better let him win a couple, drop him back down so I can keep fleecing him. It's great. There's a demo of it on Switch and on Steam. Yep. So definitely worth checking out the demo.
Yes.
You get quite a lot out of the demo too. Like you can play for quite a while.
Yeah.
And does it carry over?
It does.
It does. Okay, great, on both platforms.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. That's sick. That sounds great.
Really good. And really recommend it.
We're both only in chapter 2. Don't know how many chapters there are, but it's already gotten quite complex.
Yeah, it's introducing little things where, like, you know, you steal a card and then it looks like you've kind of lost and fucked up the round, but you plant a card on someone else at the table and then you, like, accuse them of cheating.
Yep.
It's introducing more and more things. I think I'm about halfway through, just based on the fact that every time you learn a little new technique, it comes up with, like, what number technique that is out of 28.
28, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I've gotten 16 of them. Okay. So judging by that, just over halfway, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was the actual progress or, yeah, like, just the techniques that are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's not the best judge, but it seems like a, you know, I've put a few hours in.
Yeah,
it's like a 7-ish hour game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, it's a really, really solid indie. Beautiful art direction and
in stark opposition to Sniper Elite, where, like, I've never played a game like this. You know, like, it's a cool, polished, aesthetically creative game where the mechanics are actually innovative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pulling off these things feels cool.
Right.
You're cheating at cards.
It does. It is very satisfying. You feel like a cool guy.
Yeah. It is very, like, if you, when you're in the middle of these, like, this game that you're playing, if you get one little bit of it wrong, that's, you fuck the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is a little annoying. Like, you kind of have to go through the rest of it knowing that you, like, it's funny because it's like, just because you didn't cheat and give your guy, like, sneak the right card to him, it's like, well, you've definitely lost the game now. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, he still could win.
He still could
just be good at cards. There should be a thing where it's like every now and then you still win if he's played well.
A true card shark would have some regular card ability as well.
Yeah, it's like, does he just not know how to play?
That's true. Like, yeah, you can. There's, like, mini games where you need to sort of, like, pick up the cards in a certain way from the previous round so that you know you're going to have them, like, on top and then deal them out in a certain way. And it's like, yeah, you can give your guy, like, a ace and a king and then accidentally give him a 10 and it's like, oh, you failed. It's like,
yeah,
I think he would have been okay.
I think he'd be all right. Yeah. Right.
But that's not the point. It is literally just about those cheating mini games.
Yeah.
And if there's 28 variations on it, that's heaps. Because I'm probably at, like, 10 or 12 and there's still a lot to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fun. Wario Wotions 11.
Ooh.
That's probably what they should have called it.
Yeah.
You're not even really doing card stuff in Oceans.
In a hesitant way.
Yeah.
Because you...
The font should get smaller in the title, is it?
Right. You don't want to overwhelm people with how good the title is.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You want them to work for it.
But you're right. It is WarioWare cards.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
WarioWare are the cards. They're up my sleeve. All right.
All right. Well, that's going to do us for another week here on Filthy Casuals. The live show on July the 2nd at Comedy Republic. Get your tickets right now. Filthycasuals.com.au for the Patreon. Get yourself a bonus episode every week. The YouTube stuff that we do, heaps of videos up there. Go and check all of them out.
We've got all of our five dates, FMV dating game up, all three parts.
Mm-hmm.
A great little journey we went on together. Go give that a poke.
Yep. We'll be back next week playing the world game.
Oh, yeah. The Wahold game.
Okay.
Ocean's 11.
You're on today.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Ace of hearts. Two of hearts. Three of hearts. And four of hearts. And five of hearts. And six of hearts. It's a card shark. Yeah. That was the Jaws theme. Do you fucking understand?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.